Support for this podcast and the following message come from Sub-Zero, presenting Fresh Food Matters. Short films, smart tips, food for thought, all about the role of real food in health, family, culture, and the environment. Fresh Food Matters, presented by Sub-Zero. Online now at freshfoodmatters.com. It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest, good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen. Because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well.
It's the A Couple Cooks podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
We're glad you're here.
I'm Sonia.
And I'm Alex.
And we started this podcast to inspire you to get in the kitchen.
As always, you can find the recipes we talk about here and hundreds of others on our website, acouplecooks.com.
So in our last episode, we had a giveaway. We gave away 3 bottles of olive oil from California Olive Ranch. We actually did an olive oil tasting, which was a lot of fun, and then gave away those olive oils, not the actual ones that we ate. But new bottles.
I have to say, when I had the question to enter the giveaway on our website, I was just being a little bit silly, but I seemed to cause some existential crises. So if you want to send your therapy bill our way, that'd be all right.
So in order to enter the giveaway, Alex added a question to our website, which said, if you had to pick between coffee and olive oil, which would you give up? Was it for a week or a year, just in general?
Forever.
So there was a lot of... Angst. Yes. But I don't know if there was really a winner between coffee and olive oil.
The people who didn't drink coffee generally felt very superior, is what I got out of it. Those are good people.
So we actually did have one person, Rosie, who said, I would fall apart ASAP without coffee. In fact, I tried to quit it once and I got in a car accident. Minor fender bender.
Not that we're blaming the coffee, but we're blaming the coffee.
We did have some people who just couldn't even choose, like Tammy D, who said, if I had to live without coffee or olive oil, I would simply fade away. I think I agree with you, Tammy. And we did have one person, Laura T. She said that she bought some olive oil the day she was listening to our podcast, actually the day before, and she was very anxious to make sure that it conformed to the right standards of good olive oil. So she ran home and it was actually the same brand of olive oil that we were talking about, California Olive Ranch. So she felt good about that. But we do have a winner. Her name is Annie O. And she said it was the first time she'd listened to our podcast, but she can't wait to go back and listen to some older episodes. And if she had to give one of those 2 items up, it would be coffee because she literally couldn't make it a week without olive oil. So it is perfect that she won this giveaway.
It's a good backups. Now, Annie O, that sounds like somebody who could be related to me.
Was this an inside job? I don't think so. The last name is not Overheiser, okay. So you're good. We've got a great episode planned for you today. We talk with a visionary who is young and passionate about doing good with food. We also have some great recipes, so stay tuned. Spring has come here in Indianapolis, and that means it's time to start growing things. We are lucky to have a little bit of yard, and we've started a raised bed garden. And by we, I mean Alex has started a raised bed garden.
I do most of the hard work around here.
And we also have a few pots where we grow some herbs. And that's a great way to get started with gardening. So if you haven't started a garden or if you don't even have a yard, try some herb pots. If you have a little sunny ledge or a deck or some sort of area that gets some sun, they're a great way to start getting some fresh flavors into your diet.
And you can get 4 main herbs, rosemary, thyme, oregano, and definitely basil. Put those in a sunny location and give them water every day, and they will be happy as can be. And you will be getting fresh food cut straight out of your own garden or balcony and be able to use it all over the place.
We also grow a few vegetables out in our garden, usually tomatoes, sometimes greens like spinach, and then we hit up the farmers markets for the good stuff. It keeps it sustainable for us and lets us grow the things that we really enjoy growing. So we'd love to hear from you if you have a garden or if you're interested in starting one. We have a few resources on the site. I'll add some links in the show notes. But I'll try to focus mainly on herb pots because that's kind of where we got started in exploring fresh food and fresh flavors. And speaking of herbs, I have a great new soup recipe that I want to share with you today.
What is it?
I'm glad you asked. It
is. Okay, I really knew what it was.
It is called Italian vegetable and gnocchi soup. And gnocchi, if you're wondering what gnocchi is, it's an Italian sort of pasta, kind of pillowy bits of potato flour goodness.
Kind of like mashed potatoes, but pasta.
Right. And if you've seen the word before, it's G-N-O-C-C-H-I, which someone helped me with the pronunciation once and said it's like lasagna, but gnocchi. So yeah. We've got some gnocchi in our soup and we also have...
Wait.
Yes.
Do I have to make gnocchi at my home?
No, actually, you can if you'd like, but this soup, we use some prepared gnocchi. So you should be able to find it.
You can make it yourself, but you don't have to.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So we've also got some great Italian flavors in this soup, the traditional onion, garlic, tomato combo, and we've got some chickpeas, some green beans, and some spinach. And that is all mixed together with some basil. So some fresh basil from our garden. And
I can't use dried basil.
Well, you know what? I tried this recipe with dried basil. Does the
fresh basil really matter?
It does. I tried it with dried basil and it just wasn't the same. And so I said, okay, got to try it with fresh basil. And literally I couldn't stop eating it. You saw me after I made the final version of this recipe. I just kept going back to the soup pot.
But you know, there's all those people out there that just got married and they registered for this lovely spice rack and they have this big thing of basil and they just want to use it.
That's true. You're
telling them they should grow their own.
Well, you can use the dried in the winter and then when it becomes spring and summer, it's a great time to use that fresh basil.
All right.
It's actually not a problem if you want to keep eating and eating this soup like I did because it is full of really wonderful vegetables that bring all sorts of nutrients. It's very nutrient dense.
And I have to say, growing your own herbs is very cost effective. You can get a basil plant for probably $3 or $4 at the hardware store or farmer's market, and that will last you all summer, and you'll get tons and tons of basil out of it versus $3 or $4 for one container of basil at the store.
Right. And to keep that growing, Alex has a great tip for all of you that he taught me.
What are you talking about? Oh, pinching the basil?
Pinching the basil.
You got to pinch the basil. So when you're growing herbs like basil, it's going to tend to kind of get long stems and grow out and flower really fast, even just in a few weeks in the summer, unless you pinch back that basil, which means you find a place in the stem where the stem divides in half and you just pinch off the stem right there. We have some directions on our blog, but it's really simple and it'll allow the basil to grow out and bush and get nice and full and last all summer long.
And it makes me sad to pinch off the top.
But you can throw it in.
Throw it into your Italian vegetable and gnocchi soup.
Gnocchi.
So I will place the link to that recipe in the show notes. And it's a great way, as I mentioned, to get a lot of vegetables in your diet. It's pretty hearty, especially with the garbanzo beans, the chickpeas, and all the vegetables.
Wait, it has garbanzo beans and chickpeas.
It's a synonym, Alex.
Cinnamon. It has cinnamon.
And it's a nice alternative to a cheesy and carby pasta by having just a lot of fresh food in it. We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from our sponsor, Fresh Food Matters, presented by Sub-Zero. It's like the new town square for voices of the real food movement. At freshfoodmatters.com, you can stream documentaries on everything from the history of soul food to the dangers of school lunches. You'll also find guides to buying, preserving, and preparing fresh food yourself. It's all at freshfoodmatters.com, presented by Sub-Zero. Short films, smart tips, food for thought. So we have a really wonderful guest for you today. Her name is Katie Stagliano, and if you haven't heard of her, you will be hearing from her in the future because she is a rising star in the food scene. She started a nonprofit at the tender age of 9 years old, and she is now 17, so much older and more mature, and she's still running the nonprofit. It's called Katie's Crops, and we were so delighted to speak with her. Well, let's just get to the interview so that you can learn more about Katie and her passion for growing fresh food.
So, Katie Stagliano, did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, you're actually one of the only people who's ever done it right on the first try. Everyone else always butchers it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, welcome to the A Couple of Cooks podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So I would like to say I think you're the youngest guest we've ever had on the podcast.
Oh, wow. That's such a big honor.
So can you tell our listeners how old you are?
I am 17.
Wow. So in those 17 years, you have accomplished a lot. And most 17-year-olds, I know me at that age, I was just concentrating on graduating and maybe thinking about boys all the time. But what I've heard from you is that you want to end world hunger.
Yes, that is my goal.
So tell us more about that.
So I have a not-for-profit organization called Katie's Crops, and we start and maintain vegetable gardens. And all of these gardens are youth-run, and all of the produce from these gardens is donated to soup kitchens, homeless shelters, and directly to families in need all across the United States to help provide them with fresh, healthy produce.
So that's a big job for a high school student, maybe, huh?
Just a little bit.
How do you manage your schoolwork and running a nonprofit at the same time?
My school is actually really incredible, and they understand that I spend a lot of time traveling for Katie's Crops or going to different gardens and things like that. So they're super cool with me missing out on school for things, but it's definitely a balancing act and can be very difficult at times.
So do you have a story of a person who has planted a garden through Katie's Crops and how that has affected their life in the community?
Oh my goodness, I have lots of stories. One of them is actually about a garden that was started by a class in Georgia, and it's a fourth grade class, and they've been growing with Katie's Crops for 4 years now, I want to say. And each year the class as a total comes together and they make some new addition to the garden. They have it in the back of their school. And they're really creative, and it's amazing because it gets the kids involved with gardening at such a young age and shows them how important fresh food is and gets them really introduced to gardening and eating healthy. They have an after-school cooking club, which has been really great for them because it teaches them recipes where they can go from garden to table, which is so healthy. And they've built so many amazing things. They actually have a greenhouse that they took recycled like windows and doors and turned them into a greenhouse so that they could plant all sorts of things in there, and I actually harvested over 100 pounds of sweet potatoes from that greenhouse, and they have all sorts of amazing things growing in their garden. They try all sorts of different varieties of fruits and berries, and they have an outdoor classroom set up, so it's kind of really incredible. I was actually able to go and tour their garden and just to see what they've done to incorporate eating healthy and fresh food into the classroom and into their everyday lives to get kids involved with eating healthy and fresh vegetables at such an early age.
That sounds incredible.
So you're talking a lot about fresh food and healthy food and how that can be delicious. Do you have a favorite vegetable that comes out of your garden? I know that you're donating the stuff from the Katie's Crops, but I assume you get to eat something.
Yeah, it's really difficult because through gardening, I've gotten involved with so many different types of vegetables and I've tried so many things I would have probably never tried. I think one of my favorite things is actually Ichiban eggplant, which I had never heard of until I got a flat of Ichiban eggplants to plant in my garden. And what's incredible about them is you can get up to 40 per plant. So they're such a high yielding crop, and it's basically just like it kind of looks like a purple banana, honestly. And it's so delicious. And I have a recipe that my great grandfather taught me. you take the eggplant and you cut it up into small slices, and then you fry it in olive oil and bread it, and you kind of make a mini eggplant parm. So that's one of my favorite things to make.
Oh,
that sounds amazing.
Okay, we're trying that for sure. Can we grow that in our garden?
I think so.
Yeah. I think y'all should.
All right, we're going to buy those seeds. We have a couple raised bed gardens here at our house, so we've got to try that.
Oh, that's awesome.
So before we go too far, our listeners are probably wondering, how is it that a 17-year-old ends up running a nonprofit organization and trying to end world hunger? So I know you've probably told this story a million times, but tell us the story briefly of how this came to be.
So it's actually kind of a funny story because there's not many people that I've talked to that have had a story like this to tell. But when I was in the third grade, through a school project, I got a tiny cabbage seedling, and I planted this seedling in my backyard. I watered it, I weeded around it, and I even built a cage around it, which sounds really funny because I live on a golf course. So all the golfers that drove by and played by just kind of gave my backyard a funny look because there's just this cage. It's literally just a cage of chicken wire around it in my backyard, just around this tiny cabbage plant, but it protected my cabbage from deer and anything else that would touch it. And eventually,
that is a great idea.
It's a crazy idea.
I never would have thought of that.
It worked really well. So, protected my cabbage, and eventually, I had grown a 40-pound cabbage. And I had this huge cabbage in my backyard. And I was like, what does someone do with a 40-pound cabbage? I mean, I'd never met anyone who'd grown a vegetable that big before. And so I thought about it.
So was that like half of your body at age 9?
Honestly, it was the size of my 4-year-old brother. Like, my 4-year-old brother was the size of the cabbage in my backyard.
That's awesome.
And my dad had always told us every night before we would sit down to dinner, he was like, you're so lucky to sit down to a meal every night, a healthy meal, because there are some people who go to bed hungry and rely on soup kitchens for what could be their only meal of the day. And I thought, I have this huge cabbage in my backyard, and it's obviously too much for my family, so what if I gave it to the people who rely on soup kitchens for what could be their only meal of the day? And so that inspired me. I asked my mom, I said, can you find a home for my cabbage? So she called around, and she found a local soup kitchen about half an hour from my house. So one Wednesday morning, May of 2008, we harvested my cabbage in the backyard and brought it to the soup kitchen. And when we pulled into the line at the soup kitchen, the line of people must have been, it was so long. And looking at all the faces, they were families just like mine who had fallen down on hard times. And they were all so thankful. So many people gave me hugs, and I asked if the cabbage was for them. And it was just a really great experience getting to meet all the people in line because I didn't know how big of an issue hunger was in my community and how their people were just like me who had fallen down on hard times. And I got to bring my cabbage in and weighed my cabbage, and then I got to come back that Friday and serve my cabbage to 275 guests of the soup kitchen. So that was really a life-changing experience for me, getting to serve my cabbage and getting to see all of the people that it helped to feed. And I thought, if one cabbage can help to feed 275 people, then imagine how many people an entire garden could feed. And so that's what kind of inspired me and set me on this path.
Wow, what a formative experience for you at that point in your life.
It was really life-changing. And I think because it happened at such a young age, and I really wasn't aware of the issue of hunger and how important it was that fresh produce was donated to help feed people in need, because Ms. Sue, who's the director of the soup kitchen, shared with me how rare it was that they got donations of fresh produce and fresh food, but we all know how important that is to an everyday diet. So I think that also clued me in, and I thought, well, it was so much fun for me to grow the cabbage. If I grew gardens, then I'd be able to provide them not only with food, but with fresh, healthy food.
Now, do you have any recipes using cabbage that we could share?
Honestly, cabbage is not one of my favorite things to eat, which everyone finds really weird because it's what started all of this. But we actually, I do monthly dinners at a local church, and they are free to anyone in need in my community. And so we take the vegetables from the garden, and they're used to serve the dinner. So every March, we do corned beef and cabbage to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And that would have to be one of my favorite cabbage meals, honestly. I'd say that's the best.
That's a good one.
So how does somebody start a Katie's Crop Garden?
Well, once a year, we have a cycle where kids can apply to become a Katie's Crops grower. And by becoming a Katie's Crops grower, they receive funds to start their garden. And they also receive a camera so that they can document their garden and ask us any. There's a support team so that they can ask any questions that they may have about their garden. And they also are eligible to come to the Katie's Crops Camp, which we hold every summer. And that will teach them new and different growing techniques and things to do with their produce, things to do with their garden. And so it's kind of like a great experience. And it's also a sustainable project. So kids can apply for funding year after year to keep their gardens growing and to grow their gardens even bigger to help provide more fresh food for their communities.
I love that, that it's not just a one and done type of thing.
Yeah, we've had growers growing with us for 5 years and over now. So it's really great to grow those relationships with kids and have them expand their gardens year after year and just to see how things are going and the relationships that they create with their local soup kitchens and food banks in their communities.
Well, I don't know how many child kid listeners we have to our podcast, but I know we have a lot of people who have kids listening to the podcast. So this sounds like an amazing way for kids to learn about growing fresh food and about donating their time and energy to end world hunger. So if you're listening and you have kids who might be interested, go to the Katie's Crops homepage, which is it just katiescrops.com?
Yes, and Katie with a K and Crops with a K.
Exactly. Katie's Crops with two Ks. And that sounds like a fantastic way to get your kids involved. And we would love to hear from you if you're intrigued by this idea. If your kids are intrigued, shoot us a comment on acouplecooks.com/podcast. We would love to hear more about your enthusiasm about this issue. Well, Katie, this has been a blast. I wish we could keep talking forever, but I know that now we're friends and we'll start following you. Do you have social media feeds that you maintain as part of Katie's Crops?
Yes, we have a Twitter, a Facebook, and an Instagram. And actually, what's really great is Sub-Zero is doing an amazing thing with us where if you hashtag Fresh Food Matters on social media, they are going to be donating $5 to Katie's Crops for up to $25,000, which is going to help us start 25 more gardens. So if anyone on social media wants to hashtag Fresh Food Matters, it will help benefit Katie's Crops.
You mean everyone on social media should hashtag exactly. Fresh Food Matters, right? All right, perfect. Well, if you want to learn more about Katie and follow along in her journey, make sure to follow her there. And we'll be participating in the Fresh Food Matters campaign to try to help her raise more money for gardens. So we're rooting for you, Katie, and we're so pleased to have had you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Is she inspiring or what?
I don't know. I kind of feel like I have to go back and re-examine my life. I've lived twice as long as her and done nothing.
We love talking to people who are doing good with food. And Katie is a terrific example of that. We're so excited about the campaign that she mentioned called Fresh Food Matters. Sub-Zero is donating $5 for every hashtag, up to $25,000, which is pretty amazing, to Katie's Crops. So we wanted to ask if you could join us and hashtag Fresh Food Matters on whatever social media platform you're on.
Make some sort of salad or maybe a nice soup.
Right. And just share why fresh food matters to you.
And maybe a picture of your new herb pots.
Right. We would love to see. Yeah. Tag us too, if you can, just so we can see what you're up to and what you're sharing. And we would love to raise as much money as we can for Katie and for Katie's Crops. So we'd love to have you help us. Give us a shout out on social media. And we'd love to see your hashtags. Now, did you notice how I said hashtag, Alex?
Hash. No. What did you say?
Well, I'm from Minnesota originally. And I grew up saying tag. And so every time I say hashtag, I have to think about it. Hashtag. So was that pretty good?
Hashtag.
All right. So use those Fresh Food Matters hashtags or hashtags if you're up in Minnesota. All right. Well, that's all we have for our show today. We hope you've found some inspiration, whether it's growing a pot of herbs or maybe starting a garden inspired by Katie and Katie's Crops. We'd love to hear from you. As you know, our website is acouplecooks.com. We're also on Instagram at acouplecooks, Facebook and Twitter at acouplecooks, and all of our recipes are online. So check those out. We hope you'll try our soup. And as always, keep us posted on all your thoughts. You can go to acouplecookspodcast.com and click the post related to this episode and tell us what you think.